You would turn your Bibles this morning to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. He has a purpose for each of our lives. You and I are here for a reason. Our reason as born-again believers is to bring God glory and to share our faith in Him. And that is living obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Numbers chapter 14 speaks of a day in the life of Israel where they were disobedient. And then they tried to be obedient. Let's read about it. Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 40. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies. For the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word this morning. Lord, I ask that you'll speak to this servant. I'm nothing without you, and may myself and my church family, Lord, take heed to the scriptures. And Lord, that we can be obedient and will be obedient to your word. We ask for help in this. We ask for your grace for this. We ask for your strength and your spirit, Lord, to help us and allow us to live obedient to you. And we ask this in the name that's above every name, the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The background to this passage of Scripture is very important. I'm going to share with you a little bit in case it's been a while since you've read it. Maybe you've never read it or heard about it. But we see that in the background of this, God has delivered Israel from Egypt with miracles, and now they're even parted the Red Sea. Now they're fixing to go in to the promised land that God has promised their fathers to give to His people. And there they are on the edge of the promised land, and they send in spies for 40 days. And the spies come back from the promised land and they share a report to the people. 10 of those spies said that we cannot go into the promised land. There are giants there, and in their sight we are like grasshoppers. Other two, Caleb and Joshua, said, "Let's go. God has placed fear in their hearts and the land is ours." And the people acted on their emotions and they refused to go into the promised land. Matter of fact, they said, "Let's stone Joshua and Caleb. Let's get rid of Moses. And let us make leaders of ourselves, from ourselves, and let's go back to Egypt, because the world, Egypt represents worldliness. Egypt, the world, is better for us than for our wives and our children to become prey to the giants. Let's go back." Everyone had something to say. You know who did not speak during that time? God didn't. God had already spoken and said, that land is yours. He did mighty miracles among them and said, go, take the land. So just before they're fixing the stone, Joshua and Caleb, the glory of the Lord came. And Moses and God spoke to each other. God said, I'm fixing to wipe them out. I'm fixing to make a better people from you, Moses, to take the land. And Moses prayed and asked the Lord and said, well, the Canaanites and all them, the heathens would say, God would not, you was not able to bring your people into the land. The Bible says God repented, means God turned back His wrath for the moment. Even though the 10 men who gave the evil report, they died right away. But God said, your carcasses will be in this wilderness. You will wander for 40 years, and your children, whom you said would be the prey of the giants, your children will take the land. That's the background. So here comes the next day. And we see there's three truths from this passage of Scripture that I want you and I to take home today. You ready? Number one truth is enthusiasm cannot take the place of the Holy Spirit. Enthusiasm does not take the place of God's Spirit in our hearts and lives. They said the next day, after they disobeyed, look in verse 40, they say, and they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. So very enthusiastic, they got up early and said, now we're going to go. And verse 44 is a very key verse. Look in verse 44. But they presume to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence among the people, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, nor Moses, their leader, departed from the camp. They were very enthusiastic. But the presence of God was not among them. The presence of God was not with them. You see, enthusiasm is not a substitute for the Holy Spirit of God. You know, wisdom says this. Wisdom says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Why is that? Because at the beginning, lots of people are very enthusiastic, but the people who are committed and faithful and doing it from a heart of love and serving the Lord, if we're talking about serving the Lord, those are the people that stay to the end. But those who work on enthusiasm and only their emotions, they quit very easily. You know, there's lots of people who can begin things, but only a few can see it to the end. So they were acting on their emotions, you know, on their high at the very moment. It reminds us of Samson in the Old Testament. Samson was so disobedient and there with Delilah and kept on telling her the secret of his strength, and the secret of his strength was God's presence. And yet when he said, you cut my hair, my strength will leave me, and she cut his hair that time, and when he woke up, the Bible says that he went out as all the times before to fight the Philistines, but he did not know the presence of the Lord was not with him. He shook himself as times before. Disobedient for so long that he didn't realize God's presence wasn't with him. But he was very enthusiastic to go fight the Philistines. You know, emotions can get us in trouble, can't they? Emotions can get us in trouble. You know, if all we had of our faith is emotions and emotional highs, it'll come a time in your relationship that nothing will satisfy you. Because emotional highs, an emotional high is, it's like a drug. A drug addict has to have more and more and more. A bigger hit. Oh, that was fabulous. I got my chill bumps today, but next time I gotta have this. I gotta have a new minister of music. I gotta have this. I gotta have a new preacher. I gotta have this. I gotta have my emotional high. I gotta have my goosebumps for today. And you get more and more, and it comes to the point that nothing will satisfy you. If all you have is emotions. Now granted, please listen. Emotions are important. God gave us emotions. But as born-again believers, we are based on faith in Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. It's not emotional highs. Because if all we have are emotions and highs and lows in our Christian walk based on emotions, then other people will affect you in your walk with Christ. They acted on their emotions, and instead of listening to God and being faithful to what God had said, they listened to the report of the other 10 spies, and they acted on their emotions and was fixing even to stone Joshua and Caleb. Everyone say, that's emotions. That's not being faithful. That's not being committed. You see, if it's only emotions, the people next to you will affect your worship of God. They will affect whether you're going to worship God or not because you're all emotions. Emotions can get us in trouble. Committed people are people of faith. Committed people are people who believe God. Yes, I like emotions. They'll get you in trouble. That's not what we're based on. I didn't get permission from Rebecca. But, Rebecca, can I share about your tonsil surgery? Oh, thank you. Put her on the spot. When she came out of her surgery this past Wednesday, and we were in that room waiting on her, she was crying. And we just wondered, what in the world's the matter with Rebecca? And the nurse that brought her out said, oh, she's a teenager. When they're coming out of anesthesia, I got that word out. When they come out of anesthesia, they're very emotional. And she was crying. And she said, where's Hannah? I want to see Hannah. Hannah and Miss Brandy had to drive back to the surgical center to see Rebecca. We were all there and she said, why am I crying? That wall is moving. And Lewis comes around to the side of the bed and she says, I love you, Bubba, and hugs his neck. Me and her mama was standing there. So we didn't get none of that. But what I'm getting at is her emotions were so out of whack during that time. Folks, if your relationship is with Jesus Christ is only based on emotions, they can get out of whack. We got to be faithful to the book. Faithful to this. Committed people will see a thing through. Committed people and who believe the Lord will stay true and be obedient to the Lord. So, you see, when we think of them entering into the promised land and not being obedient, the promised land to the Christian is a great picture of God's presence in our hearts and lives today. We're living in Canaan land right now as born-again believers. Okay? And it's God's presence in our hearts and lives. See, they were disobedient. And God's presence was not with them when they decided to all of a sudden be obedient. So how does that relate to you and I? When we are living a life of obedience and a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are in an abundant life. We're in the promised land when we're being obedient. We're in fellowship with the Lord when we're being obedient. But if it's only based on emotions, they can get out of whack. Other people will affect your emotions. That's why we must be faithful. And I do like the goosebumps too, okay? But we got to be faithful. We got to be faithful. Another truth that I'd like for us to go home with this morning is today's obedience cannot wipe away yesterday's disobedience. We serve a loving, merciful, gracious God. Hallelujah. All of us has experienced His grace and mercy. When He saved us, that's grace. Hallelujah. That's God's mercy. But there's also a principle in God's Word. Whatever you sow, that you will also what? You're going to reap it. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. So whatever we sow, that we will also reap. And I have to confess to you this morning, not all the time in my life have I been obedient to the Lord, and I'm ashamed of it. I don't brag about it because I'm embarrassed about it. It's a shame the times that I was not obedient to God's calling in my life and what God wanted in my life. And I promise you this, you will sow what you reap, but I do know this also, God can make good out of a mess. He done it in my life. So don't you sit there and think, well, I have no hope. I was so disobedient such and such time. How can God use me today, or what can God do today? God can. He can. Because He's merciful and gracious. But listen to what these people did. They were so disobedient the day before, and then they, on an emotional thing, said, let's go now. Let's do it now. What's the difference? You see, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? God can do that. But they decided on their own accord, without repenting before the Lord God, that they were going to go take the promised land themselves. And Moses said, God's not with you. God's not with you. You see, you cannot take the promised land. You cannot live in the presence of a holy God. You cannot be having a relationship with the holy God or being fellowship with the holy God in your flesh on your own accord. You see, you must have the Spirit of God. You must be born again. But they said they're going to do this without repenting before a holy God. Repenting is a turning. A turn of heart and mind back to God in obedience. So yesterday's disobedience or today's obedience does not trump yesterday's disobedience. We must confess and repent before a holy God. Here's an example of that, and that's Nineveh. Nineveh. Jonah went and preached to Nineveh, repent or perish. And the whole city, that great city Nineveh, from the king down, repented before the Lord, and God withdrew His wrath that He was fixing to pour out on Nineveh. Sodom and Gomorrah even had a just man Lot lived among them. Two angels went in their very presence, and they wanted to have sexual relations with the angels. What did God do? They did not repent, so God poured His wrath out upon them. So repentance, it's a turning. It's a change of heart and mind towards God. It's repentance toward God and faith in Jesus. That's the very beginning of our faith and relationship with a holy God. But we serve a merciful God that when we repent, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Thirdly, do not miss the day's opportunities. Redeem the time. Do not miss the day's opportunities. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. To rejoice and be glad in a day that God has made for the born-again believer is to live for Him. It's to live a life of repentance and obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can be glad in it. Even during the storms of life, we can rejoice when we have a relationship with Holy God. But don't miss the day's opportunities. Eternity is drawing near. Don't you realize the days are shortening? Can't you see it? Wake up, people. Eternity is drawing near. Eternity is coming. The days are shortening even as we are living today. It is so evident that Jesus is coming back. Eternity is coming. Don't miss the day's opportunities. We're winding up baseball and softball season, unless you play tournament ball on Saturday and Sundays. We're winding down. All-Stars is finishing up. Some are still going into it. But you ever been at the plate and you got two strikes on you? And you know you need to hit that ball. But you're hoping for a walk. You're hoping for a free slide. And that ball goes right by you, whether it's incredible, slow pitch, or a baseball. And have you ever just stood there and just watched it go by? And maybe that was the hit that the team needed. I mean, the team really needed you to hit the ball out of the park. You didn't even swing the bat. What happens if you've ever been in that situation? What goes back and forth in your mind, that pitch? Sometimes you'll think about what would have happened if I just would have hit that ball instead of being called out because it was a strike. What an opportunity that went right by. Don't miss today's opportunity to be faithful. Don't miss today's opportunity to be obedient. Don't miss today's opportunity, tomorrow's, next week, next month, if the Lord tarries, opportunities to share your faith. Don't let it go by. Amen. Enthusiasm, no substitute for the Holy Spirit. Today's obedience does not negate yesterday's disobedience unless you repent. Don't miss today's opportunity. It says in the New Testament in the letter to Corinthians that the examples of the nation of Israel is for us to learn by. Let us learn. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word. We thank you so much for your presence. God, help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to know we're in the latter days where people are so easily offended, it says in Matthew 24, and so easily swayed by the latest thing. Help us to be committed and faithful and true. Help us to endure to the end, because we know that we're going to have a crown and be in your presence, Lord, for all eternity. We give you praise today. In Jesus' name.